I'm going to take the next half hour seriously. Once the absurdity of life is in your head, though, you would be tempted to just think, what's the point of it all? Anyway, we are now going to... We mentioned phones there with Richard, and when is it appropriate to get one for a kid. We're going to talk now about buying a phone in general, the do's and the don'ts. And I'm joined by Ciara O'Brien, technology journalist with the Irish Times. Good afternoon, Ciara.
Good afternoon.
So look here, choosing a phone obviously can be bewildering for people because they kind of all look roughly the same. They vary wildly in price. Like, where do you start? What are the parameters that we're looking at for buying a phone?
Well, first of all, what's going to govern most people's choices is budget. Straight down the line, you know, I mean, how much can you afford to spend? And then what you need to look at is what's important to you. So if you want to take lots of really good photographs, look for a phone that has is known for having a decent camera, because, you know, we can all get hung up on megapixels and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, that's actually not what's important, because you can only cram so many of those tiny things onto the tiny sensors that are in the tiny phones these days. And having, you know, 50 megapixels doesn't mean you're going to get great photographs.
Oh, so, really?
You know,
okay.
You need to, yeah, I mean, it can actually make things worse sometimes the more you try and cram in there. So I mean, typically what I look for when I'm looking for a phone for myself is something that will take good low light photographs, something that has a HDR, which is basically a dynamic range, a high dynamic range, so you can kind of, it'll pull out kind of the shadows and stuff, you know, and it'll make the highlights of the photograph seem a bit better. And it'll kind of, basically what they do is they combine a few different images together to get a really good photograph. So even if you're an absolute idiot at taking photographs, as I can be at times, you know, I don't get those images where, you know, like the face is all blown out or, you know, somebody's face is too dark. And there are phones out there, by the way, that will let you do kind of combine images yourself so you can swap the faces around. But now that's getting into the next level
of skill. Is it HDR will do it automatically for you? Is it?
I want something that will do that, that basically will pick the best photograph. And there are phones out there that will do that. But as I said, if you're looking at, you know, what you want to have a phone, something with a decent battery, something with a decent camera, and something with decent storage, because what's happening now with an awful lot of phones is they're stopping the ability to add those expandable memory cards, those tiny micro SD cards that you would have had before. So you could buy a phone with terrible storage on it, then just whack a cheap card into it, and you could use that for storing all your photographs on. A lot of phones don't do that now. So if you buy a phone that, say, says it has 128 gigabytes of storage, that's all you have on the phone, and then you have your cloud storage as well.
And is 128 enough on the phone?
But you need to have an internet connection to actually access an awful lot of the stuff that's stored up there.
Okay, is 128 enough, or how many gigabytes are we looking
for? Yeah, I mean, most people, 128 will be more than enough. A lot of the cheaper phones will come with lower than that, so they might come with 64 gigs of storage. Again, unless you're going to be taking lots of video, because if I look at the storage on my phone, the bulk of my phone is taken up with videos, even though, you know, I don't ever really go back and look at them. I might occasionally, but what I do when I'm trying to clear space on my phone is go back and have a long, hard look at the videos, because those videos are really high quality. Because a lot of the time now they're shooting in 4K, which is probably better quality than most people will actually need. So you go back and you clear a few of those out and you magically free up a few gigs of space automatically. And that's, you know, that's the best thing you can do for your phone. And, you know, people may not actually need a new phone. This is the thing. I mean, when people come to me and say, look, my phone is, the battery is gone a bit weird. It's slowed down an awful lot. The first thing you do is say, you know, clear some of the stuff off your phone, see where you stand then. And a battery replacement is a very cheap alternative to shelling out for a new smartphone. Because look, these things aren't cheap. You can buy budget phones. You can buy ones that are kind of, you know, friendly to your wallet, but you are going to make sacrifices if you do that, you know. So you're not going to get an iPhone 14 Pro for €200, but you'll get a decent Android phone for around that, if that's what you want. You know, so it all depends on really what's the most important thing to you.
Yeah. Do we need to keep upgrading all the time at this stage? Because it does feel like each of the new upgrades, they're becoming more and more kind of incremental. There's nothing radically new in the new phones each year, is there?
No, a lot of the stuff that's being done on the phones is being brought with software. You don't need to upgrade every year or every 2 years. In fact, people used to upgrade every year. Then it kind of stretched out to 2 and 3 years. Realistically, you can keep your phone for about 5 years. The crucial thing with that is to make sure that it's still supported first by security updates and second by software updates. Because if you look down the line of the most recent iPhones and the software updates, so we're on iOS 16 now, that will support the iPhone 8, I think, is the oldest phone that it supports. So if you've got an iPhone 7, you're no longer getting software updates for that phone. Now, occasionally they will put out, if there's a crucial security flaw, they will put out, you know, a security update for older phones. But in general, you know, you want to make sure you're getting the best software, the latest software, and with that, all of those security updates. Now, as I said, Apple's phones, you know, the iPhone 8 is a good few years ago now. So, you know, you're looking at maybe 6-7 years of a phone, as long as it's still in working order.
Okay.
It depends then when you come to Android phones, obviously, then it depends on the phones. But now they're actually saying to you, you know, when they're selling you these phones, they'll say, you know, they guarantee X amount of years. So maybe 3 to 5 years of software updates and security updates. That's the figure that you need to look at when you're buying a phone.
What about refurbished phones? Because there seem to be great deals on them. But I think that automatically makes people think, well, there's something dodgy about buying one of these.
You know, refurbished phones are actually a great idea because it's not just about getting a good deal on the phone. If you're in any way kind of eco-conscious, you know, the carbon emissions involved with refurbishing a phone are far lower than creating a new phone from scratch. And I know all the phone companies now, they're trying to do the net zero by 2030. They're trying to use recycled aluminium and recycled plastic in their phones. But, you know, the phone that already exists is, you know, probably the most eco-friendly phone that you can buy. So these refurbished phones, obviously, they're taken in, they're put through a process, multiple stage process to get it back to factory settings, and then they're offered for sale. So what you will get with those phones is you'll get a few hundred euro off, you know, if you were to buy it out of, I suppose, fresh out of the box, you know, you'll get a few hundred euro discount off that price. And for the most part, they are as good as those phones because you'll always be told if there's any kind of cosmetic defect. So say there might be a couple of scratches. Look, they're refurbished phones. They're not going to be 100% perfect. There might be a couple of cosmetic, there might be minor cosmetic damage. In general, though, you know, they will be in working order. Well, not in general, though. They will be in working order if you're buying refurbished. And if you buy from a trader, now not like Joe from down the road or, you know, some guy that you met through Facebook Marketplace. If you buy from a trader like CEX, like Refurb, like Swappy, Mint Plus and a few others, basically you get a guarantee with that. You are protected under European law by the same protections that if you bought it new. So it has to be of good working order. It has to be of merchantable quality. It has to be suitable for what the purpose it's intended. So, you know, if you get a phone and it's broken out of the box, you know, you can go back to them and say, look, this is busted, you know, it's not it's not working, and you're entitled to your refund or your repair or whatever way you want to go, in the same way that if it happened for a new phone. Obviously you're not covered for small things, like you can't buy a phone that says it's got minor cosmetic damage and then, you know, basically complain because it's got a scratch on it.
Gotcha.
That's, you know,
okay.
they have to be upfront and honest about that. If they're not, you do have recourse under consumer law.
Okay. Is it better value to sign up to a contract and kind of pay for the phone gradually over that, or just buy a phone somewhere and get a SIM for, like, I think you can get it for as little as like 10 quid a month, your service?
I prefer to go SIM free. So basically buy your phone outright, if you can afford to do it. Not everybody's in a position where they can. If you've been given a phone by somebody, or what people forget is if they come to the end of their phone contract and they have a phone from one of the networks that's been locked to the network, you can get it unlocked and go anywhere you want. But also, if you decide to stay with that network and you decide to keep your phone, make sure that they adjust your plan accordingly. Because if you sign up for a plan with a phone for 60 euro a month and it's a 24-month plan, you get to the end of that and you think, oh, well, hang on and I'll see what upgrade they offer me. You don't want the upgrade, so you keep going, keep paying the 60 euro a month. You're actually overpaying then, because the cost of that phone was built into that plan over that 24 months. So you were spreading the cost of the phone. And so that part of that 60 euro a month that you're paying was to pay for the phone. If you've now come to the end of your contract, your phone is now paid for.
Yeah.
But you're still paying them 60 euro a month. So I would always go SIM only. And you can, basically what it means then is you go 30 days, you can go to a 30-day plan. And if it doesn't suit you, if you find that the network coverage isn't what you wanted or you see a better deal somewhere else, you can just switch and you're free to do that. If you're locked into a contract, obviously you can't do that. And if you decide you want to end your contract early, you have to usually have to pay out to get out of that contract. So if your circumstances change, I mean, you can always kind of, if you're on a SIM only contract that's on a 30-day rolling plan, you are free to go wherever you want.
Lots of people texting in. Actually, somebody says, make sure your phone is near field communications, NFC, or you won't be able to tap and pay. I got caught out there buying a slightly cheaper one, still expensive though. Here's a question for you, Ciara. I'm conscious that I asked you about what kind of phone we get, and the first thing we talked about was cameras, as if like it was more a camera than a phone. Somebody's saying, why exactly do we all need a good camera on our phone? What is the need for taking endless photos? Of what? I have a very old Nokia. I use it to phone people. I don't need anything else, Kathy says. Are there still good dumb phones around for people who just want that?
They are. We call them feature phones, though. We try not to call them dumb phones.
Okay.
And, you know, listen, those phones never went away. Those phones, they were the phones that I started out on. They were the ones that you could throw in a drawer and 30 days later still have battery life because they've got small screens, because they didn't have a constant, always on internet connection. They didn't, you know, control your smart home and, you know, do all the other things. Like, it wasn't your diary and your alarm clock and this and that. It was just my phone for initially just for calling because, you know, we didn't always have text messages and then for text messages, but they never actually went away. And, you know, there's been a kind of a resurgence in them in recent years. Nokia has put out a few reboots of their kind of classic phones, you know, under €100, great battery, you know, don't do an awful lot online. People are getting them if they feel like, some people feel addicted to their smartphones. Look, smartphones are meant to keep you addicted. That's the apps, you know, all of those little things where you pull down to refresh. It's all kind of rooted in kind of gambling tactics. And if you are kind of at the point where you feel, look, I don't want a smartphone. I just want something that will make calls, will do text messages, and now, like, they have basic internet connections on them as well, so you can get stuff like WhatsApp on them, on some of them anyway. You know, there are phones out there. I mean, Nokia do a whole range of them. Samsung do a few, and they're typically under €100. And also for older people as well, you know, there are ranges of phones, Emporia phones, Doro, which are simpler. You know, they have simplified menus and, you know, they've big buttons. They are compatible with hearing aids and all these things that we don't really think about until we need them ourselves.
Excellent. What are those called, or what would you recommend there?
The Emporia range are quite good. And, you know, they're not massively expensive either. The Emporia smartphones, they're called. And then there's the Doro ones as well. Like, they have, I think my granddad had a flip, one of those old flip phones, and it was a Doro phone. And, you know, only for the fact that I had this emergency thing on the back, like, where if you press the button 3 times, it would automatically make a phone call or a text message to your emergency contacts.
Brilliant.
But unfortunately, it was the one thing we kept tripping up over, because he thought it was to activate the light on his phone. So he would ring my mother at 3 o'clock in the morning and frighten the life out of her.
Okay. What about phone insurance? Should people get phone insurance?
If you're the type of person who loses or breaks phones regularly, phone insurance might be a good idea. But what I will say is, now, I have had phone insurance once. It was the only time I ever actually needed it, because I got a phone and 6 weeks later I lost the phone. Phone insurance covered it, but they will only cover a lot of policies will only cover a certain number of claims in a year. They will only cover certain types of damage, and there are, like all insurance policies, caveats. You know, if you leave a phone in a car and it's not in a locked glove box, they might not cover it, that kind of thing. Now, and also there's excesses that you have to worry about, and a lot of the policies that I've seen have been maybe €6-€8 a month, depending on what device you want to cover. Obviously, the more expensive the device, the more expensive the policy. But they also have, like, say, a €70 or €80 excess on it. If you have an iPhone, something like Apple Care Plus for your iPhone might make sense, because you pay €89 for 2 years. And then, say, if you drop the phone and smash the front or back screen, which is an expensive repair, it costs about €29 to replace. That's what you pay. So it depends really on the type of phone that you have. And also, you know, obviously, if you've got an expensive phone and you're the type of person who might lose it or break it, then maybe consider insurance, but look at the fine print. If it's a phone that's under €250, I would say just put the same amount you would pay on that insurance policy into a bank account somewhere, because if you can buy it outright for under €250, it's not going to be worth your while insuring.
Okay, Ciara O'Brien, technology journalist with the Irish Times, thank you very much.